and we were blessed to be able to go. It's something we've been wanting to do for a number of years, but we also understand that there is so much need in the world around us. It could be Africa, it could be globally, but it could also be locally, right? This is not just poverty and deprivation and physical things are not just experienced in the third world, although we are, I think, in what, the top 5% richest people in the world by many metrics. I'm just waiting for my notes to appear. Well, normally I have it switched on, but the battery is quite low, so I thought I'd better switch it off in case by the time I got here, nothing. When I first started doing, when we first started having electronic ways of having notes, I do always used to print them as well, because I was never really confident that it would work. But until this point, we've been okay. All right. So I want to sort of follow on from what we've just spoken about. Just a few minutes. It's good to see the world around us, isn't it? It's good to have our understanding enlightened, if you like, from, you know, in a Christian way of seeing what is around us in the world. And as I said, it could be international, it could be local. It's good to have our eyes opened, because we live in our own environments, our own cultures and our own bubbles at some times, don't we? And we use this phrase in Christianity, we're in the world, but not of it. In the world, but not of it. And that is usually used to indicate the fact that we as a church, as Christians, we ought to be separate from the world in the sense of sanctification. We should be different from the world around us, and that is true. Because the Lord Jesus in John 18:36 said this. He answered Pilate, actually. And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting." He had been captured, if you like, or taken to be crucified. He said, "My servants would fight against that happening." He said, "That I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." So we know that the kingdom that the Lord Jesus heralded is a spiritual kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven that we are living in now, the era we are living in now. But we are also living in the world around us. And John 17, John records the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's amazing how often he uses the word, the world, in this prayer. I'm going to read a few verses. In John 17, verse 12, Jesus says this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. So he's talking about the fact that the Lord was saying he's about to leave the world, the physical world in which we live. And I love that phrase, I've kept them. I love the fact that while we live in this world, the Lord keeps us. The disciples were kept by the Lord Jesus, and we are kept by him while we live in this world, even though our kingdom, his kingdom, is not of this world. And now I come unto thee, and now come I to thee. He's talking to the Father, he's praying to the Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's saying, I'm saying this in the world in which we're living, so that their joy, the disciples' joy, might be fulfilled. They might have fullness of joy. He's praying this while he's here, so that we might have joy in the world we live in. So even though we're not in the kingdom of this world, we live in this world, the Lord is saying he wants us to have joy in the world in which we live. And that joy is rooted in him. And I've given them my word, thy word, and the world has hated them. Now there's two different meanings of the word world here, right? So the first part, we're in the physical world. We're in the nature of the world. We're in the places we live and walk and work and the people we interact with. But now he says the world has hated them. That's not the physical world in which we live. That's the culture and that's the mindset of the world. It's the world that has been taken over, if you like, by Satan. So the world order, that world has hated them. People who love darkness rather than light. The two kingdoms don't miss. So he's saying the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So the scripture says we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his son. We're in the kingdom of heaven now, but we still live in this physical world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world. So let's remember this. The Lord has not prayed that we should be taken out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So while we're in this world, we have a purpose of being here. It's what we were just sharing a bit earlier. And we should be kept. The Lord is praying that we should be kept from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So we have been sent into this world. The Lord has recognized, he's saying, that even though we are of the kingdom of heaven, we're still living in this world and we are sent into this world. And we're sent to extend the kingdom of heaven and eject, if you like, the kingdom of this world. Neither pray I just for these disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, down through the decades, down through the generations. The Lord has prayed for you, and he's prayed for me. These words have been prayed for you, so that as we believe on him through his word, that we might be sent into the world and live the kingdom of heaven in the world in which, the physical world in which we're living. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. This is one of the functions of the church, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that the world may know that Jesus has come in the flesh to save them from sin. That's the purpose of the church in the world. And has loved them as thou has loved me. So just a few thoughts from John 17, where the Lord is talking about the world as a system and the world as a physical thing, and the fact that we should not be separate from the world. We should not try and separate ourselves in the sense of we have no relationship with the world, but we should offer something different to the world in which we live. We should actually be separate in the sense of our relationship with God and live as part of the kingdom of heaven. But in the world in which we live, we should impact the world in which we physically live. We don't operate or live according to the kingdom of this world. We've got different rules now, haven't we? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The world is condemned, but those who are in Christ Jesus, there's now no condemnation because we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We have been translated into a different kingdom, but we are still living here, right? And so what do we do with that? How do we address being in the world? We said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. How do we address the part where we say we're in the world? That's what John 17, 18 says. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. How do we do that? What does that mean for you and me? We must act as Jesus acted, and we must live as he lived, and we must live by the life that he lives in us. We heard that a couple of weeks ago. We can't just decide. We have to receive his life, and we have to live out the life of Christ in the world in which we live. Paul said, "The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the way I live my life in this world. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ. I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me." The things we do And the way we live our lives can only be affected by the life of Christ in us. Nothing of worth happens unless the life of Christ is lived through us. And that's how the church operates in the world. We live in it and we see the things around. But the only way we really affect the world in which we live is by the life of Christ being lived out through you and through me. Which means we engage. We engage with the lost. We engage with the world. We engage with people. We don't live in our own bubble. We should try and engage with people and understand and see. There's an idea, isn't it, that those especially in the who engage online, they are living in their own bubble because they only talk to the people who have the same views and ideas as them. And that happens to all of us to some degree. But as a Christian church, we need to engage with the world. We've been sent into the world to change the world. Someone shared this with me, or with a group actually, at work recently. There's been a lot of work in Poland. I haven't been out there, but there is a place out there. There's a monastery. And this is the text. He went on a walk around this area. It's to do with Camel Dalese monks spend their lives in solitude. That's why Camadalese hermitages have always been located far from human settlements, in remote places surrounded by forest. Monks live in individual small houses called eremes, where they spend most of their time praying and indulging in spiritual reading. Such Camadalese houses are furnished very simply. There is a bed, a desk, a bookshelf, holy paintings and a chapel. Each house is fenced and has a small garden where a monk can have a walk and grow plants. Monks visit each other only in case of illness. They can meet with their families, with the principal's permission, a few times a year in a special room called Baminek, due to the fact that women are allowed here. They go outside the monastery only 5 times a year when they go on a trip to some secluded area. Except on major holidays, they eat their meals alone in their houses. Even conversations are limited to what is necessary. While a dispensation from silence is granted on certain days, it is not during Advent and Lent. This solitude and silence is meant for contemplation and drawing closer to God. That's just a one way of life, isn't it? A one way direction, way of life. It's great for the individual monk, perhaps. And this is obviously true for monasteries all around the world and other sorts of sects, if you like, who separate themselves from the world. It's great for them to contemplate and to spend time with the Lord. But we've been talking about living water. We've been talking about the outflow, haven't we, recently? We've been talking about the what you receive from God. There has to be something that outflows from our lives. And we have to be salt and light in this world. That's what the scripture says. The Lord says you should be salt in this world. You should be preserving. You should be separating. And light dispels the darkness. We should be salt and light as the Christian church in this world. And in this world, it's not just the spiritual that is important. Obviously, we are in a different kingdom because we are spiritual beings. But that operates through our physical lives in this world, I believe. The physical is important. Jesus came in the flesh and he lived as a man. He was God incarnate. And he showed us that actually body, soul and spirit are important. And he did, partly the reason he did that is because we have an advocate. We don't have a high priest, Hebrews says, who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It means we don't have somebody who doesn't understand. We haven't got a relationship with the Lord Jesus who doesn't understand what we're going through. If you look at what happened in the Old Testament, the high priest went in once a year to represent the people before God and to offer a sacrifice for their sin. And he had to be from the people to represent the people. And this is what Hebrews is saying. Actually, the Lord Jesus became one of us to represent us before the Father, to be the perfect high priest, to be the perfect intercessor. And in doing so, he represents us before the Father in that analogy. but he is one of us, if you like. He's God in the flesh. He is incarnate. And in doing so, he's not separated from the feelings of our infirmities, not separated from the difficulties we go through. We are body, soul, and spirit, aren't we? And if you try and separate one from the other, it doesn't really work, does it? Each one is affected by the other. It's a saying, it says, don't try preaching the gospel to someone with an empty belly. You know, we have to see the need in front of us, I believe, and have our eyes open to it. And when we meet the need as God leads us, it could be a physical thing, it could be a word, it could be many things. It's not just how we think we ought to behave, it's the life of Christ flowing through us and having that compassion when we open our eyes to see the need around us. Jesus, he fed the 5,000, didn't he? He didn't say, oh, the physical is not important. He said they're hungry. He could see they were hungry and they were going to faint for hunger. He'd given them the spiritual word, but now he wanted to give them the physical word. He healed the sick. In the great messianic statement that Jesus appropriates in Luke chapter 4, which was originally written in Isaiah 61, where he says, I haven't got it written down actually, but he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he goes on to express that in physical terms. He says, to preach the gospel to the poor. In the end, we must remember that sin is at the root of all suffering and poverty in the world. And Jesus came to deal with the root of that sin. The root of that, which is sin, of course. I came to preach the gospel to the poor. The physical representation of what sin had done. Sin impoverishes, and Messiah brings good news to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. This is an emotional thing, a thing of the soul, isn't it? To heal the brokenhearted. Sin breaks the heart, and the Messiah has good news for the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are bound by sin. Sin makes people captive and enslaves them, and the Messiah has come to set them free. Recovery of sight to the blind. This is probably one of the most straightforward things we see, that Jesus healed people of blindness so many times. But underneath all that, sin blinds us, and the Messiah has come to heal our spiritual blindness and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, the Jews at the time were oppressed, weren't they, by the Romans. What Jesus was saying, I've come to set you at liberty in your spirit. No matter where you are physically, you will be spiritually free. Jesus didn't only come to preach deliverance or even to bring deliverance, but to be deliverance for us. He is our sacrificial lamb. He gave his life so that we might be free. But he lived his life in this world as an example of how we should live. We should live our lives as Christians full of the Holy Spirit, which calls us to reach out to the world in which we live, in whichever way God wants us to move. Jesus was often moved with compassion, wasn't he, concerning the physical impact of sin on this world, and it caused him to act. Even when he knew that many would not respond to him, they might have done initially, but he did it anyway because he loved them. So that's what our compassion should lead us to do, to meet the need no matter what response we get. You know, when we meet the need out of love, no matter whether it's physical, emotional, whether it is time, whatever we do, we're doing it out of the love of Christ. It's the life of Christ in us and the love of Christ through us that meets the need. We may not expect a response because love has its own response. This is why it's good to engage with mission and to see other things, international or local, because our natural inclination is selfishness and self-preservation. I did have a little video of Open Doors. Maybe we can just see that just in closing. There's a video in the file there, Dylan, please. I've done this because I've sort of got this theme of actually seeing the world around us today. And I want to share a little bit, 3 minutes of a Open Doors video, and then one of compassion. Just a reminder, we've got compassion coming in 2 weeks' time. That's just a one-minute thing. Sorry, it's a link to Vimeo. Sorry if it's... we've got a lot of technical things we have to deal with today. But you know, all the... a lot of the physical things in this world, universities, schools, hospitals, are born out of Christian belief that every person is important. The individual is important. Jesus said, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and get the one. And that's what's unique. One of the things that's so unique about Christianity, the individual is important. The one is important. And that's what we should be like. It doesn't matter whether it's one or a thousand, the life of Christ in us. Yeah, if you could just play that, that'd be great. The sound is on or not.
In the shadow of the power bomb's role, life in Afghanistan is very difficult. Yet, anchored by our strong faith, we press on through the storm. We have to worship in secret. If our faith is discovered, we might face...
challenging, of course. Good to see what's happening around the world. There's a lot of blessing as well. But, yeah, it's good to see what is happening. I just want to finish with the compassion one-minute video. That's a bit more of an upbeat thing, I suppose, but what we can do. As I've said before, there's lots of things international, but there's many, many things right outside our front door and with the people we know. So let's not over-focus on one or the other. It's what Lord puts upon our hearts. But, the Lord says, or the Paul says... he says, when I was with the church council, he says, they told me to remember the poor. And he said, which is one thing I was eager to do. So there is a physical and a spiritual and emotional. And it's good to remember those around us who have less than we have, because the Lord will use us to benefit them in a way that builds his church out of one kingdom into another. So as I said, we're going to have compassion come in 2 weeks and just share something, get involved and be here if you can be. And just this one-minute video, we'll put some more stuff out on the social media so people can see it. And, be blessed. This time we shared this morning, maybe having our understanding deepened, Lord. We know that you see, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you see all our works. If they're not done in love... Corinthians 13 says that we can give our bodies to be burned. We can do all these things, give all our money to the poor, but unless we do it through love, it means nothing. And so live your life through us, Lord. Let the river flow through us as we, your church, represent you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for your patience.